Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Hey, are you excited for the word today? I'm excited. I'm full of passion. I'm just amped for the word. I've titled this message, Designed to Follow. Designed to Follow. Now, I need to tell you why I'm so excited. And that is because I did my double degree at New South Wales Uni, and it was a traumatic experience. I mean, essays, assignments, exams, it is just, in a sense, it's a lot. And so after finishing, I was so pumped not to study until God came knocking on my door saying, time to do your master's in Christian studies. I was like, no more essays, God. Give me the revelation. None of the work, please. None of the work. Anyway, I had to, after youth on Friday night, I had to go up to one of the offices where no one could see me after we packed down. They were doing venue hire stuff, and I was doing my last 1,000 words of an essay due at 11:59 p.m. I was like, after a Friday night, I tell you what, that is hard work. This, my friends, is a message that I actually got from my study in my Masters of Christian Studies. It's my first one that's like directly from Bible college, so I'm feeling a little bit like a professor here today. It's gonna be sick. I must say, you're about to be blown off your feet. This is legit. So I got this message from a subject called Christology. I know, how fancy, that's me. I'm a genius, basically. Okay, Designed to Follow, we're gonna read Judges chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. Judges chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. Even though I go to Bible college, ladies and gentlemen, I need to let you know I still haven't nailed the pronunciation of these names, so I will be skipping a few in Jesus' name. Are you ready? Yeah. Judges chapter 3, verse 7 to 11, it says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan, king of Aram, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. Subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came on him so that he became Israel's judge, leader, commander. And they went to war. The Lord gave Cushan, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. Verse 11, which is our key verse today. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. I in COVID, the lockdown period, I used it to do a study on the book of Judges. A great Bible commentator, actually Pastor Brad's favourite, when he wrote a book in commentary of the book of Judges, he said that, and I actually agree, his name's Warren Wiersbe, that Judges is the most, the context of Judges is so similar to the context of today. And how we relate to God. And this is sort of the cycle that you see in the book of Judges. You see the people of God living in God's purposes, worshipping God with a leader. The leader dies and Israel, the people of God, forget their God and they start to sin. The way they sin is they stop worshipping God and they start worshipping things that they can see, feel, touch, the right here, the right now. The instant gratification, the immediate gratification. And what we read was that they served the Baals. And as a consequence of serving the Baals, they left the blessing of God, and they, for 8 years in this particular case, they were subject to the consequences of sin. They were in pain and bondage. And so in pain and bondage, they cry out to God. They cry out, they say, God, we need your help. We're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry. So God, in his grace, I love this about God. No matter how many times we fail, no matter how much we do stuff and it's our own sort of consequence, we got ourselves into this mess. We cry out to God and he saves them by raising up a deliverer. But then the deliverer dies and they go back to the start of the cycle. They forget God. They serve the right here, right now. They get subject to the consequence of sin. And if I can be as bold and as brave to say, I can even see the pattern in my own life. a propensity to enjoy the blessing of God and forget the one who gave me the blessing. And before I know it, blink my eyes, and there I am again, stuck in the consequences of sin, calling out to God, saying, God, please save me again. Through this, all of this cycle, through all of the book of Judges, you pick up on a few key things. And can I just share them with you? They're not my main points, but a few key things. Firstly, I want to just point out that Israel often owned the land, but didn't occupy the land. And so through the conquest of Joshua, they often were in the promised land and they owned the promised land, but they let the enemy occupy part of their territory. And they said, well, the enemy's not causing any problems right now. So what we'll do is we'll just let them have their little corner. We'll let that sin live in my life for a little bit. We'll let that unrighteousness just stay in my life for a little bit because it's not doing any damage now. But you read further on in the story and you see that does a lot of damage. Compromise only leads to more compromise until you're stuck in the consequences of sin. The second thing that we see is that because they let the enemy occupy part of the land that they owned, they ended up marrying the enemy. I find in my own life, this is the deceit of sin. This is the deceit of a fallen and broken world, that it will give you instant gratification. It will give you something that feels good. It will slowly but surely convince you that it is good, only to eventually be to your detriment. Third thing that I noticed is that they worshipped created things rather than the Creator. I want to tell you that the Baals were this was a very strategic plan of the enemy to put the Baals in. The temple of Baal, I don't know if you know this, I learned it in Bible college. The Baals were... serving Baal meant going to see the temple harlots, and as you went to engage with the temple harlots, the Baal god promised agricultural blessing. He's sort of the prince of the earth, and agricultural blessing meant like prosperity, money, like good things. And of course it didn't deliver because Baal's fake, but this what a sadistic sort of type of worship that you would have to go and see that instant gratification, that instant. And I see that again in my own life, that there is a version of worship that is so instantly gratifying, and it grips a generation at times. And I see it in young adults, I see it in youth, I see this, come to me, I will give you something, I will give you to something, only to get you hooked on the instant gratification side. The next thing I see is that remorse is different to repentance. Through the book of Judges, you see a nation saying sorry, but doing exactly what they did before. The cycle continued, continued, continued. I think it's a word to me today. Jackson, God will save you because he's good and he's gracious. Yeah. But you will get yourself back to where you started unless you turn from your sin and follow God in his ways. He will save you again, but he doesn't have to save you again. He's got a plan to redeem you if you follow him. Yeah. Lastly, and this is the big sort of mic drop moment for me in this sort of study of Judges. Lastly, you see that that Israel followed God while they had a leader. But when the leader died, they were unable to find, see, serve God once again. And again, being a youth pastor, being a young adult myself, I see this in my own life. It is so easy and attractive to follow a person. And there's actually a place for that. There's actually a place for that. But guess what? People die. Leaders move on. Situations change. And if my relationship with God is based on a person, it's doomed for demise. Here we see, though, the power, or one of the aspects of power, of Jesus Christ, the person. Here we see the story of a nation, a group of people who love God, want to serve God their whole heart. But when push comes to shove, they struggle to see the mystical, they struggle to follow the supernatural out there, God. And so they got stuck in the cycle. Until one day God said, they can't see me anymore. They can't find me anymore. They can't, the nation is so lost. They need a leader who will never die. They need a leader. They need someone that they can touch, feel, follow, look at, hear. They need a person who happened to be Jesus Christ himself. God who put flesh on so that we would not have to follow a mystical God. We would not have to follow some presence out there. We would not even have to follow rules or obligations. What we could do now is follow a person. And by following a person who never dies, it will solve the issue of the judges. This leader of mine, this one who cares for my soul, this one who is with me through and through, this one who directs me, this one who says, don't go there, go over here, the one who is protecting me on all sides, the one who is protecting my thoughts and I ask to come into my thought life and my emotions, the one who I lift up the needs of my family to, this man is not a man like any other. He is a man that will never fail because he will never die. Point number one, designed to follow. Number one, you are designed to follow Jesus. Don't lose sight of him. Do not lose sight of him. Can I tell you today, church? Can I tell you today, as soon as we lose sight of Jesus, we are going to walk back into the slavery that we were once set free from. The pattern of the Bible, as soon as you lose sight of your spiritual leader, you will walk yourself back from freedom into slavery. Back from freedom into having a master over you. So the challenge here is, do not lose sight of your leader, Jesus. Do not lose sight of the judge of all judges. Do not lose sight of the one who saved you so that you can continue progressing in freedom. My family is a diving family and we've had so many awesome dive trips. Diving is a crazy sport, activity, and quite a dangerous one at times. I was in Bali with my friend Aaron and I decided to go diving, and a drift dive, that's where you get dropped at one location and the water, the current like rushes you down and you get picked up at another location. Funny side note, the Balinese were so ruthless. There was this lady, when I came up to the surface to my boat, there was a lady hugging the side of our boat. She lost one of her flippers. She's got all of her scuba gear on and she can't find her boat. And the Balinese dude is like, get off my boat, get off. We're in the current of a lifetime, people. And honestly, out into the deep blue sea. And he's like, get off my boat. You can't touch my boat. I'm like, no, this lady is going to float into the abyss. But my friend and Aaron and I convinced him, no, the lady is going to stay with us. And we helped her find her boat. What's crazy about diving is that in the ocean, I know this sounds funny to say, there is a lot not to see.
That's awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it is so funny that there is so much not to see. The stuff that looks good is like 0.00000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 zero of a percent. There's nothing to see. The other thing is, it's really dangerous. The other thing is, it is so deadly scary when you lose sight of your guide. And before you know it, in a world that if you are 20 meters away from your closest person, you potentially cannot see them. It is the most scary experience at times. And as a Christian now for 15 years, when I lose sight of Jesus, that's sort of how I feel. There is not a lot to see in this world apart from Jesus. When I lose sight of my guide, all of a sudden I'm terrified. When I lose sight of the guide, there are active currents trying to drift me as far away from my leader as possible. And so I got to encourage you tonight that the whole Bible is amazing. I love the whole Bible, but make sure you're getting into the Gospels, because the whole Bible can be summed up in the person of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, he actually says to you, I didn't come to abolish the law, as in, I didn't come to abolish the word, I came to fulfill it. Everything that you see in here, every requirement that you have, every way God wants you to live, you don't just have to follow words on a page. You get to follow the person of Jesus. He doesn't say, I need you to do this. He doesn't say you must do this. He says, follow me, I'll show you how to do this. But as soon as we lose sight of that, we go back into the cycle of slavery. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Number two, people will follow the Jesus in you before they follow Jesus. They will follow the Jesus in you before they follow Jesus. I got to tell you tonight, one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as if God were making his appeal directly through us. Be reconciled to Christ. We are the living, breathing, walking carriers of Jesus Christ today. And people will follow you. They will sense the love, the grace, the mercy. They will sense the wisdom. They will sense it all in you. Jesus Christ alive, active in you. And if we do our job right, church, if we follow our leader, and we do our job right, people will follow us temporarily before they find him themselves, and they will follow Christ. Thank you, Jesus. What an honor. Matthew chapter 6 says, don't hide your light. Don't hide Jesus on the inside of you. If you are waiting for your friends and family to encounter a presence, God's probably saying to you, I need them to encounter Jesus in you. Because inherently in us, as humans, the way God designed us in anticipation for Jesus, He designed us that we would follow someone. So let them follow you to Christ. Number three, it's never too late to turn back to Jesus. It's never too late to turn back to Jesus. I really want to underscore this, that God is so in love with saving you. And in the cycle of sin, that even as a pastor, even as just, it's a human being thing, that at times in the midst of the chaos of life, you can lose sight of your Savior sometimes. And every time that ever happens to me, I have this deep, like reverberating guilt sometimes. I know I'm being really honest of like, God, I said I wouldn't do this. And if you ever feel that, you need to hear the word of God to you today. He loves saving you. He loves saving you. One of my favorite passages that we learnt a couple of years ago from Nehemiah is Nehemiah chapter 8, that says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in my research of this, it's a verse quoted about joy and strength all the time, which is very appropriate. But the context for me, as I studied it, was this, that that Israel, they were in the cycle of sin. They were in the washing machine, being full on, just like their lives turned upside down on the waves of sin, redemption. And they had just come out of 70 years of slavery, and they themselves got them there. And God, through Nehemiah, rebuilds the wall so that they could go back in and inhabit Jerusalem. They were going to be safe. Their culture, their Jewish culture, could flourish once again. They could have community once again. They could be the Jewish people again. And so the prophet Ezra gets up to read the word of the law to the people. And it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, everyone bows down and starts weeping and crying. And so Nehemiah, with the Spirit of God in him, gets up and says, no, now is not the time for weeping and mourning. Because they're, oh, God, we're so sorry. This was our fault. How are you so good to us that you saved us? We did this to ourselves. Nehemiah gets up and says, stop mourning, start partying, start being joyous. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let me translate it. God finds joy in saving you. When you get stuck in that cycle, when your family members get stuck in that cycle, you've got to remind them, you've got a God that loves you so much that He actually enjoys saving you. In a sense. Now, we don't ever do this on purpose, but in a sense, God is on the edge of His seat waiting to save and redeem you again. He is there saying, no, any trouble that you get yourself in, any pain that you find yourself in, I will be there to rescue my people. The story of Judges teaches us that God will rescue you again. As soon as you turn back to Him. As soon as you cry out for help. I think it's in Judges 12 or 13. I found this quite funny, actually. There was this exchange between God and the people where God says, you chose this, so deal with the consequences. So they cry out. God says, well, I said don't do it. I said there'd be consequences. Now you've done it. So deal with the consequences. So they cry out again. And God's like, okay. I'm coming to their rescue. I'm reading it on the edge of my seat, thinking to myself, is God really? Oh, this isn't the God that I knew. But no, he loves rescuing you. I wonder what situation you find yourself in, and I know that feeling of like, this is my own fault. This is my own fault. And there's demonic pressure on you because it's your own fault. Don't go to God. Fix it yourself. I wonder what situations we face. Can I encourage you today? Turn back to Jesus. He loves saving you. Number four. He's the judge that never dies. He's the judge that never dies. So, as a teenager, as a new Christian, you know, the new Christian, experiencing the grace of God for the first time. If you're here, I don't know, for the first time or the first time in a long time, you can have that feeling tonight of Jesus washing away your sins. It is the most unbelievable feeling. I will never forget that night of Jesus washing away my sins. The most remarkably unbelievable feeling. It's funny, as a 13-year-old, people would have thought that I looked great on the outside, had it together on the outside. Even as a 13-year-old, I so knew how to cover up the brokenness that's inside of me. It's why youth ministry, I know I'm harping on about this, is so important, because even young teenagers need the grace of God. I remember the feeling of being so under the weight of oppression and sin and heartbreak and abuse. I remember that feeling so clearly, and I was desperately crying out for a savior. And that feeling, that moment when, in our context, it's praying a prayer and raising your hand, and I just said, you know what? I feel the presence of God on the inside of me. I'm going to lift my hand, I'm going to pray the prayer, and I'm going to open up my heart to Jesus. I remember I sort of describe it like this. There's this game that kids play where you sort of grab the edge of your pants and you pull with all of your might for about a minute. Sometimes you can do it in a door frame, and you just, all the pressure is outwards, and you hold it for a minute, and then it's the most remarkable feeling. What happens is after you let go, your arms just start to float like this. It's the weirdest feeling. And I remember being like year two or year three with my friends learning about this strange magical phenomena, and we would play the game to be remarkable. Well, that night that I gave my heart to Jesus, that night that I finally opened up my heart to Jesus. I finally met the living God. I finally met the Savior of the world. I finally met the one that died for my sins and rose again to give me new life. The day that I finally met him felt like that. Felt like my whole world was so tense and under pressure, trying to save myself, trying to keep it together, trying to make it through. Even as a 13-year-old, knowing I am not going to make it. I just knew deep in my soul, this is going downhill from here. What a terrible feeling for even a 13-year-old. And there I was, and I was, and then I opened up my heart to Jesus. And it is like that feeling of that just lift my whole body. My whole body. Yet my life hadn't changed. I went back to a very tumultuous home. I went back to the same habits that I had, that I walked in with. And I remember the guilt. And I remember the shame of turning away from Jesus and abusing, almost just not honoring the grace that he'd given me. And I sort of get the feeling that there are some people in the room where you've tried something before and it gave you momentary relief, but then it faded. It, like, that was the end of it, and so you move on to the next phase. My mum growing up, she's an awesome Christian now, but my mum growing up was well and truly into the self-help era. I grew up with like Tony Robbins CDs playing in the car, and hypnosis this week and books about this the next week. And I'm telling you, I grew up the feeling of, because, and it's funny, those phases, they must give temporary relief. Otherwise they'd never make money. You can imagine being Israel and having that relief. I think, I'll just check, for 40 years. They had peace in the land for 40 years. And then thinking when he died and everything went bad again, well, that didn't work. One generation passes, another generation comes, that didn't work. There is a, particularly in youth and young adults, when things go wrong, or times get hard, or diagnoses get received, or family breakdown happens, or the ups and downs of life, there is the sense, and I see people walk away from Christ as if it was a phase that people go through. And they say to themselves, well, I tried that and it worked momentarily. But it doesn't work anymore. I love Jesus because he promises us through his death and resurrection, he rose back to life, conquered the grave. He commissioned his disciples with a purpose in Matthew chapter 28. And then he said this, I will be with you always. 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 I've been a Christian for 15 years now, and I've been on the ups and downs of faith. I've been on the ups and downs of life's journeys. I've made the mistakes. Mistakes have been made to me. I haven't been through as much as some people in the room, but I've definitely been through my fair share. I'm sure I'll go through a bit more. Can I tell you, in 15 years of hindsight, this is what I've learnt, young person, that the story of my life so far and will continue to be, will be the faithfulness of God, because these phases will come and go. Can I tell you, there will be, the phases that were here yesterday will be gone tomorrow, and tomorrow there will be a new phase. But can I tell you, if you've found Jesus Christ, you never have to find another phase again. You never have to be on the lookout for the next big thing, for the next temporary relief, for the next temple of Baal. You never have to be out on the lookout ever again. Because by his death and resurrection, he says, I will be around forever. And it's not just walking, talking Jesus anymore physically. although he is still very much a person. He is Jesus Christ on the inside of you. He is the God who walks, talks, breathes with you in Jesus' name. And I find so much relief. Israel had to wait for the next judge. They had to wait for the next temporary relief. They had to look for the next leader. If you found Jesus for the rest of your days, your leader will never have to change. Your security, your safety will never have to change. Your source of inspiration, of comfort, of emotional health will never have to change. You, my friend, we as the body of Christ, we've found our leader who will never die. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're about to go into a time of ministry. But I want to talk to people today who might not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I referenced and I told the story of about the moment that I received Christ into my life. I really want to validate today that there are people in pain in the room. There are people in very real situations. And by preaching Jesus, I by no means mean to devalidate the pain that you are feeling and try and tell you that there is a pill that cures all and that everything is going to be okay and all sweet. And just as soon as you accept him, that there's this phase that will automatically fix everything. No, that's not what I'm here to tell you. I'm here to actually validate your feelings that you are doing it really rough right now. You are lonely in the soul. You are dealing with guilt and a conscience that is screaming at you. This is not right. This is not right. You are living life desperately searching for the right way, but you can never seem to find it. And that feeling, my friends, is a really hard feeling. But the good news today isn't that everything's going to be solved. The good news today is that you, if you open your heart to Jesus, will have a leader who will lead you through it. He doesn't solve things like that. He just doesn't click his fingers, but no, he grabs your hand and you will have someone with you every step of the way. If you need to know Jesus tonight, if you need to open up your heart to him, pray this prayer after me. The whole church is going to pray with us. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight and I open up my whole life to you. I give you my heart. I give you my mistakes. I give you my past. I give you my future. I need you, Jesus Christ. I need the living God. I believe in you, Christ, that you set me free and forgiven every mistake, and that today in you, I have a new future. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, I want to see your hand. Ready? On the count of three, I just want to see your hand. If that you prayed that prayer and you meant it. Ready? One, two, three. Give me a wave real quick. Wonderful. 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 Wonderful.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.